Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest. Hey, so I am so excited to share this conversation with you. It's with my friend Katie McCown. You'll hear right away that we recorded this during the winter, and I think it was right around the February freeze and snow that we had here in Texas. Man, what a week that was. And it's crazier to look back now since it's literally 95 degrees, but it feels like 100 outside. I can't even believe it was, you know, freezing temps and snowing outside. So I'm just really excited to introduce you to my friend Katie. She's the author of She Laughs Without Fear. It's a Bible study that reminds us that we cannot change the future, but the fear of the future can change us. Katie is encouraging us to stop looking at the worst case scenarios, and she's helping us to trade out our fear for the future for joy in the present. Man, what a concept, right? I'm so excited for you to listen to this chat and hear Katie and I talk about making friends while moving around all the time, being uncertain, being intentional, and diving into loving where we are right now. Friends, as always, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey y'all, I'm so excited. We just like sat down and started like talking right away and I needed to hit record. So Katie, hey, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm so good. Y'all, we have Katie McCown with us today and we're talking about her new Bible study called She Smiles Without Fear. It's going to be a great conversation. I'm so excited to be sitting down and meeting you. This is so much fun. We're both freezing to death in Texas right now, which is just not our normal.
Does not happen normally, and we don't know how to dress when it does happen.
No, and I told you earlier, everyone's like, you guys are used to this, but we also like don't have winter clothes any longer. Like, right. We don't have these things that the Alaskans in us used to have, so it's a mess. So yeah, we're just cold.
Mm-hmm. We have to stay indoors because we don't know what to do when we go outdoors, and it's doing the freezing rain thing.
Yeah, I don't want to drive around. I that's one thing. I can drive here. Like, I can do that. But, like, I don't want to drive around people who don't know how to drive in this.
Well, that's true, which is most of us.
Right. Katie, are you drinking anything? What's in your cup?
Well, you know what? It's kind of boring right now. I just have water in my cup because it's mid-morning-ish. Mm-hmm. But I do have a super fun cup. It's got the big bold letters that say Mom's Cup, and my first grader bought it for me at like the little school store, you know.
So sweet. I love those.
So I have a Mom's Cup and my husband Luke has a Dad's Cup, and so right now I have water in this cup.
I love that. That's good. Somebody shared with me a picture of a cup that I just have to buy, and it's got Dolly on it, Dolly Parton, and it says caffeine. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to have that. So
I love it.
It makes me really excited. I'm probably gonna order that today. Okay, when we are able to go out and about and it's not freezing cold, what is your coffee order? What's your go-to order?
You know what? Okay, so I love the seasonal coffee drink, like the pumpkin spice.
Yep.
And the eggnog lattes. I do love those. But I do love them in season, you know, so I don't love to drink them year round. And then honestly, besides that, I'm pretty bland and maybe low maintenance. I love a black cup of coffee. And so I'll just go get, you know, the dark roast blend wherever I go.
I love that. I always say, like, I would love to be able to drink black coffee. I won't. I just will never get there. I just don't think. But there's something simplistic about being able to order a cup of coffee, a dark blend, anywhere you go, and just be able to drink coffee anywhere. Like, that's something so simple.
And I will tell you that this is something that has morphed over the years because I do love to drink coffee. Yeah. So I was a journalism major and I worked in television journalism after I graduated from college. And coffee was just, I mean, I drank it like water.
Oh, yeah.
I drank coffee like you should drink water.
Right.
Okay. I don't recommend that, but I did. And then I got married and had six kids. And so I continued to drink coffee.
Yeah.
Like, and so what happened is as I got older, I realized how bad the sugar was for me.
Yeah.
So I think coffee innately isn't terrible for you. You know, it, I mean, it'll, the caffeine, too much of it can make you all jittery and things.
Right.
But the sugar was the real problem. And so I thought, well, if I'm going to keep drinking coffee because I enjoy drinking it,
right,
then I'm going to have to go cut down on the sugar and all the stuff that I put in it. And so I did it little by little. So I would go from three spoonfuls of sugar to two. I mean, I definitely was the person that went to the, you know, went to the drive-thru and was like, I need a large coffee with 10 sugars,
yeah,
please.
Yeah.
You
know? Could you put a cup of sugar in my coffee?
Right.
Thank you.
If you'll give me a cup of sugar and then pour some coffee on it. So I did have to kind of wean myself back from the sugar. And over time, I did acquire the taste for just the black coffee.
Yeah, I get that. I can tell when there's days where it's like where you accidentally have poured too much creamer and you're like, I'm just drinking milk now. I'm like,
yes,
barely coffee-flavored milk. I'm like, I don't like that. Yeah. Okay, so you said six kids, and we were talking right before I hit record. I asked you, tell me about your husband, because you are married to a former football player, a professional football player. So I want to hear a little bit, like, about your life and your family.
Right. So my husband and I will celebrate 17 years of marriage this year, which seems crazy. It just doesn't feel that long. I can't believe it makes us sound, like, old and mature.
Jesse and I are in the exact same, we're in the exact same time frame. And I'm like, how have we been married this long? We're still children ourselves.
Kids, yes. So we were married almost 17 years ago, and we got married the same year that he was drafted into the NFL. So we began our marriage like that. And he is from East Texas. I am from North Louisiana, and he was drafted to the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, wow.
So us, you know, Southern folks that don't know how to dress when it's cold and certainly don't know how to drive in wintry weather, we moved with our dog, our Great Dane, to Cleveland, Ohio. And it was just the two of us with our boxes of wedding gifts. I mean, we didn't even own a piece of furniture.
Wow.
And so we moved up to Cleveland, and we had no family. We had no friends. We had that dog, and the dog wasn't even sure he liked me because he was Luke's dog. And then during that first training camp, the dog, I was like, I had one responsibility, which was to take care of that dog, and I lost him. And I freaked out because I was like, what am I going to do? Like, we've only been married like 3 months and I lost his dog. And I just drove all over the neighborhood with the windows down, calling for the dog. And I got home without the dog, thinking, I'm going to have to tell him. And there was a note on my door from the neighbor, and the neighbor, like, the dog just gone to visit the neighbor, and the neighbor had kept him and was just spoiling him rotten. But the neighbor had also called the Cleveland Browns facility to tell Luke, I have your dog.
You're like, really? Wait for me to come home.
So anyway, it was a sweet but also, you know, learning year. It was our first year of marriage. We were up there and we had each other. So we talk about, I mean, there are definitely challenges, but we look back and we just loved the time that the two of us had to kind of grow together as one.
Mm-hmm.
And then really that first year kind of set the tone for a future that we weren't necessarily expecting. When he was drafted into the NFL, we just felt like we would be drafted to that team and that's where he would spend his career. And we were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So within the first year, he was traded, and we didn't know about it until he read it on the internet the morning that he was traded. He
wow.
read a news article, and he said, he woke me up that morning, and he said, hey, I think we're going to be traded today. And sure enough, by the end of the day, we had been traded to Tampa, to Buccaneers, who just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, I was also pregnant with our first child.
Right, because that just, you know, everything needs to change at one time.
Yes. And so that just really set the tone for the course of his career. It was a lot of, we had other moves that we didn't see coming that happened one day was one way. And then the next day we were moving to a new city and a new team. And he had three injuries that were just, they almost happened in a way that you wouldn't even expect an injury to occur, you know, non-contact kind of things. And so it really just was that it was an adventure that didn't quite go the way we expected. But we moved. So he played for 13 years. We probably moved a dozen times in those 13 years. And then of course we had 6 kids during those 13 years too. So it was quite a journey. And we learned so much, not only about how to be parents and how to be married, but also how to follow God and how to follow him one step at a time, because our plan wasn't quite working out the way we planned it.
Right. Man, so my first question is, how did you make friends during that time? Because if you're moving that much, then it gives you very little time to go deep with the relationship. But you're also in this kind of like sorority in a way. I'm sure there's lots of football wives. So how did that work for you?
I love that question. And it's so funny because I really don't get that question a lot. But it really is vital. And so I'm going to be upfront. There were times that I moved and I was just so over it. I didn't want to make a friend.
Yeah.
I was tired. I had kids. They were little there. And I just, I can think of twice off the top of my head that we moved and I kind of stomped my foot and said, I'm not doing it. I'm not trying to make a friend. I'm not trying to go deep in relationships. I don't have the capacity for it right now. And I'm just not doing it. And God in his goodness and graciousness nudged me and kind of kept pushing me in that way. And those are, even in those specific times, those are some years that I grew so much and had such a blessed experience in community. But one couple of things that we did in order to build those friendships. And one was, yes, engage in a Bible study. Yeah. And you're right. There were most of the teams that he played for had a chaplain and a chaplain's wife, and the chaplain's wife would put together a women's Bible study for the wives and the girlfriends of the players. And so it was it sounds simple, but it was just the willingness to reach out to find out who that woman was. And then to go to the Bible study. It wasn't always easy because you were the new girl and you were stepping into a group a lot of times that had already kind of solidified. So you would have people in the group that had been in the group together for years. So you were the new girl. So it did have its challenges because you can feel kind of uncomfortable when you're stepping in while you do know you have something in common. And that's similar in whether it's football or whether it's your kid's school or whether it's just the body of Christ. We have the commonality of Christ. We have the commonality of Jesus, but we don't have necessarily the familiarity or commonality with one another when we're the new girl. So it did have those challenges, but it was the willingness to reach out, and then it was the willingness to keep going.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't always, hey, we went the first time and it was awesome.
Right. You don't click with everybody the first time.
Right. And I remember telling my husband with one of our moves, I said, this is not going to be like it was, you know, because oftentimes when we're trying to engage in new communities, we just left one that we really enjoyed.
Yeah.
Where we, you know, a lot of times where we felt known and we felt like we had bonded with people. And so it doesn't, when you compare it, it doesn't feel the same. And so just continuing to go and allowing it to develop. And then that was with the small group, with kind of the women that had that common thread of football. But the other thing that we did early in our marriage and in his career was commit to be in church on Sunday mornings. I know that's a little bit hard right now because of a lot of things are online, but you know, go back to the time where it wasn't.
Right.
And you know, Sundays are game days.
Right.
And so it was a lot easier to just get up and get ready for the game and go to the game. And then I was also doing it alone during football season because he did have to be at the game. So it certainly wasn't easy to get up with all the little kids and get them ready and get to church on time.
Right.
And then you had moving on top of that. So now you're visiting churches. But early in our marriage and his career, it was just a conviction of the Holy Spirit that we would prioritize that. And while, you know, at the time I felt like I was just being obedient to Christ, what I learned over the years is that that was such a blessing and a needed thing for my soul. Because I, again, it was the same stuff, being there and feeling like everyone knows each other except you. Man, I remember sitting on the back row of churches that I was visiting, feeling so alone. I mean, almost crying because yeah. I was there and nobody knew me and I didn't know them. But just the commitment to keep going. And we ended up with some of the sweetest church families along the way and such needed support groups. Yeah. So
I think that's great. That's such good answers. And I think that the common thing is that you had to put yourself out there time and time again.
Mm-hmm. And it's just not easy. You know, this idea of putting yourself out there.
Oh, yeah.
But it does reap a benefit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So tell me a little bit about She Smiles Without Fear, because from what I can tell, even from what you've already said, like, this is based off of the Proverbs, not based off of, but this is centered around Proverbs 31 woman and that line of she laughs without fear of the future. And there was probably many times where you didn't, I mean, maybe you feared for your future. There was so many moves and you weren't able to settle in, yet you were still able to say, like, okay, God, we trust you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So everything that you read in the Bible study, She Smiles Without Fear, Proverbs 31 for every woman, does come from a journey that God led me on. And yes, I would say that our time in the NFL felt very uncertain. We mm-hmm. never knew what was coming next. And we learned a lot about fear of the future. I definitely lived with, okay, are we moving tomorrow? Like, when are we going to get that call? Because it yeah. happened, you know, where one minute everything seemed normal and you were just living your life, and then the next minute you get a phone call and everything is turned upside down. And that was, you know, that's not specific to just our lives. I mean, I'm saying that, and I bet everyone listening can think of a time that happened in your life or someone dear yeah. to you, where one minute everything was one way and it seemed, and then what happens is we feel blindsided. And you know what? I'm saying this, and I'm like, even if it hadn't happened to you, it did in 2020. I mean,
oh yeah, one day
we were like doing our thing, and the next day, the world changed.
Yeah, one day we're at Target walking the aisles, and the next day you can't go.
You can't go anywhere, right? Yeah. And then when you finally can, it's totally different. Mm-hmm. And so, I think in those moments we feel blindsided, and then even sometimes subconsciously we make decisions like that will never happen again.
Yeah.
But our solution to that will never happen again is to try to stay one step ahead of the future. Mm-hmm. And so then it's all the, well, what if this? Well, what if this? Well, what if this? And then it's trying to play out every worst case scenario and somehow be prepared for it.
Yeah.
And that's what I saw happening in my life. That's what I recognized myself doing. That's what God helped me recognize. I'm not sure that I noticed it myself, but with the, you know, his gentle and good and loving faithfulness, God began to reveal in me all of the ways that I was missing out on what was happening right in front of me. Mm-hmm. The purpose of today, the joys and the blessings of today, I was missing them completely because I was working so hard to stay ahead of what might happen in the future. Mm-hmm. And so instead of living in the present, I was fearing the future.
Yeah.
And was unavailable to really invest in what was happening right now.
Yeah, and that's so good, because it is when we're living in the present, like, what, I'm trying to think of the best way to ask that. Like, what is the best way to know if we're living in fear of the future or if we're living in the present? Like, do you think there's a spiritual marker there that we can kind of pinpoint?
So I can give you two things that I know I've noticed in my life.
Yes.
That are my kind of indicators to check it a little yeah. bit. One thing is that when I am living in fear of the future, I am holding tighter to whether it's my children, whether it's my dreams
yeah.
or, you know, my aspirations, whether my career, you know, where, fill in that blank, the opportunity that you hope for, whether it's the way I provide So I know this is a silly example, and I'm almost embarrassed to share it, but the toilet paper thing, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
Where you're like, I will take you out for this toilet paper, or you will spend hours, and maybe not now, but maybe a year ago, like hours scouring the internet to find the stash of toilet paper on some website that nobody else has found yet, right?
Yeah.
And so that's me totally unaware. Like, I didn't do it often, but I know I did, where I spent time on the internet for the sole purpose of toilet paper. All the while, I had toilet paper in my pantry. It wasn't like we didn't have a roll.
Right.
And it wasn't like, anyway, but it was just the idea that I was afraid of running out. I was afraid of how long this would go. I was afraid of what might be in the future, and what if, and so I was disengaged in the present for the sake of something that might happen in the future. So that's a silly example, but it's just one example of gripping. And, you know, if it's with your child, you know, when you're fearing for their future instead of trusting the Lord with their future, you miss the smile on their face. The child standing right in front of you smiling, you miss the beauty of their growth because you're so worried about the future. And so you're gripping. And then even for me, when I'm gripping them a little tighter, I can become a little edgier with them because my fear can come out in how I respond to them. And so those are, that's one. And then the other thing is that when I am afraid of the future, when I'm operating from a place of fear of the future, I tend to bear the burdens of, let's just say, of figuring out the future, of preparing for the future on my shoulders. And because I'm putting all of that weight on my shoulder, all of that burden on my shoulders, I feel like I don't have time to linger in God's word.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't have time to pray, or I rush through that in order to get to all the things I need to do. So what it becomes is that I spend so much time doing that I feel like I don't have time to be with Jesus anymore. And those are just a few indicators that I have to stop and go, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Where they help me notice when I might begin to be operating from a place of fear of the future.
Yeah. I love that last example so much. I love them both so much, but that last one resonates with me because it's that, like, well, I have to hurry and get through this so that I can worry about this. And it's like, that doesn't make any sense, because if I'm worried and stressed and anxious about something that's coming, then the first thing I should be doing is spending, like, kind of like pouring that heart out to the Lord instead of worrying. You know, it's like, it's that exactly dichotomy of, like, well, just switch that mindset up a little bit, or just be aware of that and be like, oh, okay, this is what I'm doing. This is how I need to change it.
And I love how you said that. Hurry through this so that I can worry about this. Like, that's what we do. And it sounds, when we say it, it's like, why? Why do I do that? But we do, or at least I have.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Or I put off my time with the Lord because I know that it will be convicting. And instead I'm like, well, I could just, like, oh, oops, I swiped through all my, you know, like, I used my whole morning on Instagram instead of spending time with the Lord. Oh, oops, so well. And it's like, no, that's just making you more anxious.
Exactly. So true.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network and is sponsored in part by...
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hey, I want to break in real quick to tell you about a company and a product that I absolutely love. I've always loved having my nails done, and I really prefer to do them at home. Because, you know, like, cost and convenience and all. I've used everything from the high-end polish to the nail stickers to press-ons, and they've all just missed the mark for me. Until now. Last year, I found Olive & June. Olive & June is a nail company that teaches you how to give the perfect at-home mani and pedi. They want you to feel beautiful, and they give you the perfect tools and polish to do so. They want you to have the best looking hands and toes out there. Their nail polish is top notch, and I personally had manicures last well past 10 days with little to no chipping. And don't even get me started on my pedicures. They last forever. I mean, come on. Their cuticle serum has stopped me from anxiously picking at my hands, and their nail strengthener has changed the shape of my nails. With some of the best, brightest colors, really any polish color that would ever fit your fancy. Think that you would really like Olive & June. If you want to check it out, head to oliveandjune.com, and for 20% off your order, use code JeanetteT20. That's JeanetteT20, the number 20. Let me know what colors you pick, or if you need any help choosing, hit me up in DMs. I'll help you. Okay, now back to this week's episode.
Okay, so tell us a little bit more about your book and your heart behind writing this Bible study for us.
So, I mean, a lot of it is I've shared briefly, but, you know, it was when, and I can take you to the place I was standing in my yard when I became aware of what I was losing because of fear of the future. So it was a beautiful, probably late summer day, and I was in the yard with my kids. And, you know, the way I remember it is I remember the warm sunshine, but it wasn't like so hot that you were melting. It was just that perfect amount of warmth and a sunny day. I remember the wind blowing through the leaves on the trees. We had a slip and slide out in the yard, and all of my kiddos were just running and giggling and sliding down the slip and slide. And it was just a beautiful afternoon, a beautiful moment. And I was standing in that yard in the middle of that beauty with tears in my eyes. Mm-hmm. And it was all because of the thoughts in my head, the burdens on my heart of the what ifs of the future. Mm-hmm. What if this happens? What if that happens? And it didn't stem from a phone call that said, oh, somebody's sick. It didn't come from anything like that. It didn't come from anything that would make me expect my worst case scenarios in that very moment. It was just what I was carrying. I was so worried about the future and felt so out of control. And instead of being fully immersed and invested in the beauty of the moment right in front of me, I was missing it completely.
Yeah.
And I had that moment where I went, I can live the rest of my life like this, and then I will look back and realize I missed out on my life. I missed the smiles. I missed the laughter. I missed the purpose. I missed the intimacy with God. I missed even following him step by step because I wasn't present for it.
Yeah.
Because my thoughts were in a future that I couldn't arrange anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the day that I decided I didn't want to live like that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I began that process with God, like, okay, so what do I do? I mean, it's not like you can just turn it off. It's not like you can go, well, I'm just not going to fear the future anymore, at least not for me. So it really began a process of beginning to understand some of the roots of where that fear of the future was coming from and how to dig it up from the roots instead of just, because I tried to just kind of brush it away. I think we do that sometimes because we know the verses in the Bible that say,
right,
do not fear. There's plenty of them. And so then when we do, it's like, oh, I'm not supposed to do that. So let me just pretend I don't, or let me just brush it aside. And it was almost like, I mean, I had a moment later that same year where, again, I'm standing there with tears in my eyes after a Bible study for no reason except that I was just so defeated. And it was in that moment I realized I've just kind of been sweeping this all under the rug. But if you keep sweeping things under the rug, you're going to develop a really nice pile of things that you're going to trip over all of the time.
That's right.
And you're going to stub your toe, or you're going to fall on your face. It's just not a good thing.
Yeah.
We've got to do something with it. We can't just pretend it's not there. And so that was the overflow of the Bible study. And then really, of course, God, in the way he just ties things together, There was a day that I posted that verse on social media, Proverbs 31:25. Depending on what translation you read, it says strength and dignity are her clothing and she smiles at the future. And what I saw happening was all in the comments where it was just women saying, basically, that sounds so wonderful. Too bad it'll never happen for me.
Right.
You know, and
I don't
think anyone wrote that specifically, but that was really the tone of, it sounds great, but I just don't really think that's possible. And that was when I went, oh man, I think it is. Mm-hmm. So I started to spend more time in that portion of scripture, and God just showed me more and more. And that's where the whole thing started.
I love that. And I think that is such a, that's a nice biblical principle, but come on, like, she's just the Proverbs 31 woman, but it is tangible. It's something that we can put those into practice, and we really can love our family so well and chase after the dreams that God has given us and laugh without fear of the future. Like, it's such a beautiful, like, promise for us. I think that's really cool. We just have to, and we have to, I'm a big fan of saying, like, we have to flip the script. Like, instead of saying, like, well, that wouldn't that be nice? It's like, okay, well, how can that be nice? Like, how can we walk in that? So I love that your study is going just to help us flip that script.
Yes. I love the way you said that, because my goal truly is if you go through the study, it's not, and I say this in there, it's not that we're going to come up with this way to arrange a future that will never present fear. That,
yeah.
On this side of heaven, I wouldn't ever tell you that we could figure that out.
Right.
But what it is, it's a process that we can go through when we face fears of the future, when we recognize them, or quite honestly, when we encounter circumstances that warrant fears,
yeah,
of the future. One of the things that I talk about in there is through the process of writing and editing the Bible study, my dad, the way I say it is, my dad moved to heaven and we went through the last days of his life during that time. I mean, it's not that we're going to live a life that doesn't, where we don't sometimes walk through our worst case scenario, but it's just a way to approach even the worst case scenarios with the Lord,
yeah,
instead of trying to face our fears on our own.
Yeah. I remember so vividly last, probably early March, laying in bed after just reading about, like, what COVID-19 could look like for America or what it was looking like overseas, and just kind of, like, paralyzed with, oh my gosh, what does this mean? What does this look like? What is the worst case scenario here? And my brother-in-law so flippantly said, I think a big majority of us will get this virus. And just that kind of, like, shocking me, but also being told how dangerous, like, just this overwhelming paralyzation of, like, what is happening? Mm-hmm. What is happening? And then to walk out that year where it was the strangest and hardest and heartbreaking all the way around, but to be on the other side of that and say, okay, well, we just walked through something really, really hard. We're not done, but we just conquered a lot. So this year's worst case scenario looks a little bit different. And so I think, I was saying that, like, laying in bed thinking that night, texting my husband, like, I'm so stressed out and just terrified. And he said, well, what can you control in this moment? That's always his go-to. Like, what can you control in this moment? Well, I can't control what America is going to do about this pandemic coming. I can't control anything. I can control how much toilet paper we have. I can control, like, in this moment, I can make sure that we have food in our freezer. I can make sure that we're washing our hands. You know, all of those things that we started doing early on. I mean, hopefully my kids were washing their hands before that. But those things beforehand of, like, okay, what can I do in this moment? Well, in this moment, I need to hand it to God because I need to go to sleep. Like, that's the first thing I need to do. Second step is, okay, what does this look like? So for me, it's always that, what can I really do in this moment that is going to set me up for success and not anxiety tomorrow? And so that was, when we were talking about just fear of the future, that was the first thing I thought of, was, like, man, laying in bed that this time last year being like, oh my gosh, what does our future look like? I have no idea. And this is so frightening.
Mm-hmm. And the laying in bed thing, I think that happens for a lot of us, because that's the time of day that everything gets quiet and we're alone with our thoughts.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not necessarily some busy work to distract us.
Yeah.
And so we come face to face with all of those thoughts. And it's interesting. I read a Psalms, and I can't remember which chapter it was right now, and I hate that, but it's in Psalm, and David is talking about laying on his bed.
Yeah.
And he's talking about meditating on the Lord, meditating on the word of the Lord as he lays in his bed, and the situation that surrounds him is not a safe one. And you know, if you're familiar with King David's life, before mm-hmm. he came to the throne, there was all kinds of, you know, Saul coming for his life and just running, you know, being out in the wilderness, with the threat of people trying to take his life. And I remember being so struck when I read that, like in the middle of this, there were so many things to fear. And he made a choice when he laid on his bed to meditate on the goodness of his God.
Yeah.
To meditate on the word of the Lord in our, you know, translating to our day and age, to meditate on scripture,
mm-hmm.
Or just the truth about who God is. And one of the things that I write about in the Bible study as it comes to our prayers is that we are absolutely instructed in scripture to cast our cares on the Lord, to bring our requests to him. But what I encourage us to do is before we go straight in to all of our cares and concerns and requests, to start with just praise to the Lord. And there are multiple examples in scripture where people do this in their prayers. They begin not with the situation at hand, which is dire. It is serious. And it in multiple places, it's a situation where if God does not step in, it is destruction. It is desolation that is in store. So it's not a toilet paper situation.
Right.
Like, it's serious. Like, there's more at stake here. And not to undermine the toilet paper situation.
It was, but, I mean, it was bad, but it wasn't that bad.
Right. But it was real. It was real. But what for them to start with praising the Lord, it's such a simple shift that really what it does is it shifts our perspective. And so what I've found in my life is when all of it is swirling and I begin with praising the Lord before I start into the circumstances that are swirling, the real things that we have to fear, what it does is it helps me filter the reality that I am facing through who God is.
Yeah.
And that changes everything.
Yep.
When I see my circumstances, not just, and you may have heard it this way, but I don't just see the horizontal situation, I see the vertical.
Yeah.
I see the God that is all powerful, all knowing, the God of all creation, and the God who is good and faithful and loving. I see him for who he is. By when I praise him, it helps my heart and my mind start there, so that when I get to the circumstance, I now see it through the lens of my God.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of starting with the circumstance and, you know, that's how I do. It's just, oh my goodness, and I'm just kind of reeling over what is happening. And then if I'm not careful, I begin to filter God through what I see happening in my circumstances.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I'm in danger of beginning to evaluate his character based on what I see happening, his character that is never changing.
Right.
He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And yet I can begin to see that through what's happening in my circumstances, which is instead when you flip it and you see the circumstances through the truth of God, it's been really helpful for me to face the same situation, but not be so consumed by the fear of it.
Yeah. I think that's just so beautiful. Just changing that posture. It's absolutely a posture switch when we're, instead of saying like, where are you? What is going on? It's a, okay, I know that you are good. I know that you are holy. I know that you care so deeply for me. All of these like good, holy things that like we get to worship him for being and doing, and then say, but man, my heart is heavy. Yes. Man, this is really hard, or this is really looming, and this is a really dark season, and knowing that crying out to God is not the problem. The problem is the posture of our heart often. The problem is the world around us. You know, he's never changing. He is always good and always there. It's just sometimes it's hard to see when we allow the fog to settle in. Love that. Okay, the last question I ask everybody, because we believe that there's a season for everything under the sun. Right now, it's obviously time for coffee, but what is it time for in your life right now?
So I do not always do or have a word for the year. But this year, I really did feel like God, because it was such a random word that I was like, I don't think I came up with that, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the word that I felt like God gave me for the year was feast. And so you asked me, what is it time for? I think it's time to feast. But what's so fun is the way that God has revealed so much about that in his word. And so, you know, shortly after that word kind of came across my heart, I was reading in Matthew, and when Jesus was in the wilderness and he was tempted, and he said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Yeah. And that is feasting. And then just after that in Matthew 5, when he shares the Beatitudes, and he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, yeah, for they will be filled. And so I think it's a time to feast. And I think I'm learning so much about how to feast, because, you know, if Jesus was in the wilderness and he had said, we live on every word that comes from the mouth of God, yeah, you know, that's encouraging, because yeah, you don't just have to feast when it's all going in abundance.
Right. Right. And that's, I think, where so many of us have fallen short, is when we miss the abundance, or we miss the season of plenty, then we're like, well, where is his goodness in this season? So right. I think it's beautiful. Katie, where can we get your book? Where can we follow along on all that you have going on? And how can we get our hands on this so that we can smile without fear?
Well, you can get She Smiles Without Fear just about anywhere you buy a book. And so Amazon, the Proverbs 31 bookstore, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, just christianbook.com. Just about anywhere you buy books. And if you want to hop over to my website, I have a free download called 7 Prayers to Help You Smile Without Fear.
Oh, awesome.
And so that's at katymccown.com. It's katymccown.com. And it's just a free downloadable resource for you to grab those 7 prayers to help you smile without fear.
Awesome. I'll link those in the show description. Kay, this has been so much fun. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for living this out, but also for sharing what God taught you through it. It's really sweet.
Thank you so much for having me. I have loved this time for coffee, and it's been a blessing to me.
So fun. Thanks.
Man, I just love these questions that she asked us and that she just had us think about. Are you fearing the future? Are you able to sit in today's joy? I don't want to carry around the burden of feeling as though I need to rush through everything, or I don't have adequate time to spend with Jesus. I want to be living in a joyful season right where I am. I really love the indicators Katie told us about. Like when we are living in fear of the future, it makes us feel as though we don't have time and we have to rush through everything just so we can worry more about the future. No way. If I'm worried or fearful of the future, I need more time with Jesus. I need more time in quiet. Let's not brush these things under the rug or let shame creep in. Let's do the work, dive into what the Word of God says, and continue to surrender our fears to Him. One thing Katie has for us on her website, 7 Prayers to Smile. It's a free download available at katymccown.com/7prayers. Go download that and let's live joyfully right where we are right now, smiling every single day. I'll see you next week when it's time for coffee.
Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.